If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
94.3 WIBC, the rhythm of the city. This is Veronica Douglas, and this is the WIBC Book Club. And as you know, reading doesn't take a vacation, and we want everyone to grab a book and learn more and just take time out to read. And that's what we're doing today. And we have an awesome author here. Now, listen, I call him Pastor D from his ties with Mount Airy Baptist Church in Bridgeport, but he is Darrell Rich, and he is the author of The Love Challenge, a 21-day journey in love. Pastor D, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Veronica. How are you?
I am well. I am well. But when I saw a pastor was writing a book about love, I was like, okay, how are we going to deal with this topic? You know, and I was ready to dive right in, because sometimes at church we don't talk about love. We don't talk about sex. We don't talk about certain things like that. So, of course, some folks just immediately go to that and wonder, well, what is he going to be sharing? Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I got this book at an awesome time in my life after my mom's passing, and I needed to do some self-evaluation, and it was great for me. And I'm going to share with you a little bit later the parts that I was able to really learn from. But first of all, tell me why you wrote The Love Challenge. Mm-hmm.
Well, essentially, it's twofold.
Okay.
So the first is that I was really navigating what it means to love a congregation and love a congregation unconditionally.
Okay.
You know, going through seminary, we have all this training, all these classes, but nothing focuses on the fact that as a pastor, you have to just love people. Beyond everything else, beyond your preaching ability, beyond your teaching capacity, you just have to love people, because people are a trip.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
Yes,
you know.
We do. Yeah. And church folk, yeah.
And so,
especially church folk.
Especially.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so,
being one.
You a good member, Doug.
But when life changes, and we'll talk about that. So how were you able to deal with your right? Because that's not something that's in a textbook.
Textbooks, yeah.
Okay.
No, it's just something you learn over time.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately coming into the life and ministry of the church, it was almost like the Lord was challenging me, you know, building up my love capacity, what I call in the book, the love capacity. Am I quotient to love?
Mm.
What are the real limits of my love?
Okay.
And, you know, as a pastor, we have to be open to everybody. You know, we have to be willing to receive all types of people, you know, from all backgrounds, ethnicities, so forth and so on. And just through the process, the Lord was really challenging me on that, you know. So someone who has a bad attitude, someone who's always just starting dissension and, you know, causing chaos, Darrell, you are still required to love them. And it really became a challenge, you know. But
then, you could be fired from your job, but you can't be fired from church. You can't say, okay, you can no longer be here.
Right. And exactly. Mm-hmm. So we can't just kick you out, you know.
That would be breaking news. Person
right.
gets kicked out of church.
You know.
Right. Uh-huh.
But it becomes a challenge. And one of the things that I realized was that not only is the pastor, you know, leading the people, but in many respects, the congregation is also a part of the process, the building process for the pastor, the pastor's character and his or her integrity. And so the Lord, I believe, is doing a work on both hands. The Lord is using this pastor to grow this congregation, you know, but also the Lord is using this congregation to grow this pastor. And so there were many areas in my personhood that were broken, that needed repair, that where I needed to be checked on, you know, and the Lord was using this congregation to actually do that, to say, okay, Darrell, you know, you're open and receptive to this person, but you're not so open to this person. Mm. Why is that?
Okay.
You know? And so that's one thing. The second thing is that, so you just mentioned about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, May 1st, the book came out May 1st. Mm-hmm. May 2nd, my father passed.
Mm, I remember, yes.
And when you talk about a love challenge, I'm actually talking about our relationship as well. So our relationship was not a bed of roses initially.
Okay.
Initially, yes. My mother and father, they separated when I was young.
Okay.
And I just had so much animosity towards him. Mm-hmm. Just like, you left us, you know, you left us there to die. And like, I actually said these things to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until 2009, he became very ill.
Okay.
And it was during that point that I realized, like, I don't want to live without my dad. I'm not ready for this. And we got through that, you know, full recovery, thank God. And we forged this relationship that was just almost miraculous.
Mm.
I mean, the way we loved each other, he and I. So you talk about, you know, broken homes and broken families and how, and you even, you know, talk about fatherless sons and everything.
Yes.
But what we don't hear about is how some of those relationships, God steps in and is able to mend them.
Yes.
And that is what happened. So my father and I, we actually entered into this love challenge, and we were like, no, we're going to love each other, and we're going to love this hatred, this animosity. We're going to love it out of each other.
Mm.
And we did that.
Intentionally.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, it just became this kind of, we were on the same page. We finally got on the same page. And so for the last about 7 years, he and I, like I said, forged this wonderful relationship. We literally talked every day.
My God.
I mean, and so you talk about the power of love and the power of healing love.
Yes.
And what love does.
Mm-hmm.
There's a verse in the Bible that says, perfect love casts out all fear. And sometimes I think we don't really understand the power of what love can do. And just by he and I, you know, committing ourselves to loving one another and loving each other beyond the past.
Okay.
It took both of us letting down our male egos.
Okay.
It took both of us getting beyond, you know, the fact that he wasn't there and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Getting beyond all of that and saying, you know what? The past was the past.
Okay.
But now here we are today. What are we going to do with today?
Exactly.
And like I said, we forged this awesome relationship to the extent where my mother made this comment, you know, she was like, I feel a little left out. Like, because
all those years
I had been her son,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
and finally I was my dad's son,
yes,
you know,
yes, yes.
And so that's where
that
this
healing
book
journey is wonderful, because it allowed you to love him.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes, yes, uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, upon his passing, I was saddened definitely by it, but because we had that relationship and that bond,
uh-huh.
Oh my God. The Holy Spirit has definitely been my comforter, and has used those memories,
okay,
you know, to help comfort me.
Mm.
And so that's where all of this is coming from.
Mm.
I was just at a point in my life, I think, in my life and in my career, where I wanted to do love right.
Okay.
I just wanted to do it right.
Okay.
You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, that loving people means just letting anything go and, you know, being passive. No, I think even a certain impact of love is correcting people, you know, but doing it in love.
Okay.
Doing it in a way that is not offensive, you know. So I'm not trying to make this. So the book is definitely not about, you know, oh, you know, just love people and go on. And no, it's not that. I'm saying it's difficult work.
Okay. It's work.
It's
right.
Work.
Which is why you gave us this workbook.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And pages that we can actually write our thoughts down and have a morning reflection and an evening
yes.
reflection. Why did you think that was important to do?
Well, because that's one of my spiritual practices.
Okay.
Morning meditation and evening meditation. And I got into it about 3 years ago, actually, like really sitting down in silence and meditating. And I fell in love with it. And so, like I said, it just became a spiritual practice of mine.
Okay.
And I think as I was writing the book, I realized that we need to soak in some of this, you know, some of the material that we're going over in the book. I need to give people a chance to just sit in it and soak.
Mm.
And so that's what I wanted them to do, you know. So that's why we have the morning reflections, you know, okay, think about this throughout the course of your day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the evening reflections, we come back, you know, and say, well, think about this now, you know. So you've gone through your day, you know, you've had a chance to really meditate on what we were talking about, you know, the daily discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted people to have that space to process,
okay,
to really process. Don't just read through it, but sit down and process through some of these questions, because they're hard hitting questions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know,
definitely.
Each week, hard hitting questions.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And so as you were writing this, so you were going through your own healing.
Yeah.
As you were pouring into this book. And now What are you hearing from folks? Because I know that you hit Facebook and folks were sharing. So tell me some of the things that you that people have been sharing, and what has really been, because I shared with you, you know, day 9, 10, 11, you know, 12 were just so profound for me as I took a look at loving me and not being afraid, because I had to learn after my mother's passing on Memorial Day, like what is normal now? I don't even know. What is normal? I'm still working on normalcy because there's a lot of things in my life that are just not normal.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to process that. Relationships have changed and things have changed. And although I'm still saying I'm going to love you anyhow and I'm going to tell you I love you no matter what, it's still difficult. So that, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. You know, when you said that, it just struck a chord with me because that's the rhythm that I'm in. You know, just trying to regain a sense of normalcy. But what I realized is that we will never regain the normal we had. And our challenge for those of us, you know, who just lost loved ones or even just lost anything, significant. Our real challenge is to actually live into the new normal. That's the challenge, to live into the new normal.
Wow. Yeah.
And what I've been hearing from people is that this book has been causing people to try to live into new normals, you know. And so you mentioned, you know, the days that really stuck out. When we did the 21 day challenge on Facebook, day 3, where I was asking people to identify their fear. And so the morning reflection is, today I surrender the fear of blank to the light of God's perfect love. And people just poured out themselves. What was powerful to me was that people who I have known for years, grew up with, sat and dined with, did ministry with even, and they were posting on Facebook, today I surrender the fear of not being enough. Today I surrender the fear of not trusting. And as I was reading through it, I was shocked because I was like, we've grown up together. We've been in ministry together. You know, we've prayed together and dined together. I did not know that you were, that you did not feel like you were enough.
Right.
You know? And so day 3 really opened up a lot of people. I believe that when we take the time to just acknowledge our fears, it loosens the grip it has on us.
Okay.
And so that's what I wanted to do. You know, in that first week, just acknowledge the power of God's love, that God's love still casts out all fear, you know? And so I wanted people to have that space there to just acknowledge your fear. And I think that's what, too often we don't do that, particularly as African-Americans.
I was going to say, as African-Americans, we really don't take this time to do that.
Right.
And why? Is it the fear of, because I know for me, I was reading the Facebook post and I was nodding my head, but will I post? Probably not, because I'm sitting here going, my page is personal, but it's public, and there's just some stuff I'm not willing. But I poured into this. This was like a little diary. Matter of fact, I wish I had a lock on this book so that I could keep it locked up. So that if I ever
the
set
next
it down,
edition, I'll do that.
please
put a lock on it.
Oh, that would be hot. Okay, yeah, put a lock on it, Pastor D, because it's just such a personal journey. It really is. And in fact, I was going through a whole like 2-week sabbatical where I just opened it up and just said, okay, I'm really going to invest my time in this. And it is a challenge, this whole thing called love, different ways of loving. And when you talk about loving people as God loves them, that's, come on now, who's doing that?
Now, you know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It really, in our human ability, we cannot do it.
No.
We can't. That's why it takes the Spirit of God. It really does. It takes the Holy Spirit present within us to love people. And I remember sharing with my mother, with some other relatives. I was like, I don't know why I love this man. I'm like, he left us, you know, and.
But you yearn.
I understand.
I forgave my dad in 2004.
Gotcha.
During the Ma'afa time. And I know you know about that experience. Mm-hmm. So you yearn for that. Like, I just want to love you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
I could not understand it. I was just like, we talk every day. We, you know, we don't miss a beat. I mean, and sometimes our conversations will be about nothing. You know, just what you doing? Right. You know, what you doing?
Yeah. Exactly.
And I've realized, like, I love this man. Like, I love my dad. I love him after all the craziness. I love him. And the Lord really brought to my mind that you're not doing this on your own, out of your own capacity. Mm. This is my Holy Spirit at work in you,
see,
massaging your heart and his heart.
Mm-hmm. This you're good, but you're not God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, you're good.
This, Darrell, this is much, much bigger than you.
Got it.
This is much bigger than you.
Okay.
And I believe that if we just avail ourselves to that, knowing that that sometimes love won't be reciprocated, you know, but still giving it, still giving it with the hopes that it will free the other person.
Mm-hmm. Especially when that love goes through challenges. So what advice do you give to your readers, though, who have gone through, you know, challenges in their lives, things have changed. And, you know, I believe, and Pastor says this a lot, you know, it takes more to stay than it does to leave.
Yeah.
So you have to deal with who you are while you stay. So what do you say to those readers who are still struggling with different relationships and how to love when the change happens?
You know, I trust the Holy Spirit to lead and direct us, but then also I trust my gut, you know. And the truth of the matter is that there are some instances where you have to separate yourself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the relationship that you are presently in is abusive, whether that's physically, verbal, you know,
ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
listen up, right.
If it is abusive in any way, you have to separate yourself out of it. You have to dismiss yourself from it. That doesn't mean that you hate the person, you know, but what it does mean is that love was not present there, because love is not abusive. Love is not harmful. Love is not hurtful. You know, 1 Corinthians talks about this. 2 Corinthians mentions this, that it's not harmful. And so if you are in something that is presently damaging you, that's not love.
Mm-hmm.
That's not love. And so, like I said, I trust the Holy Spirit to lead and to direct us. But then also I trust my gut. And I think we have to live in that space, live in that balance between the two that says, okay, should I stay here or should I go? That becomes very particular,
okay,
you know, to the circumstance.
Okay.
You know, there are some relationships, I believe, that wherein love will abound, you know, it'll abound over the faults, over the, you know, the trauma, all this other stuff. But I think it's also choices. The choices that we make, whether that is to stay or to go.
Okay.
Because it's going to be a challenge,
right?
You know?
Right.
And I just seem to think that after you have done all you could do, after you've done everything, after you have poured yourself into a relationship, whether that's with family, whether it's with friends or a significant other, after you have poured yourself into it and again, it's not being reciprocated, then I think at those times is when you need to start being prayerful about how you move forward. Do you move forward with this person or do you move forward without this person? And I had to, there are some longtime friends that I mean, I wish I could have on this leg of the journey with me.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, the randomness of life has happened. They're not here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love them any less. But I realized that, they couldn't come with me on this part of the journey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was difficult separating, but it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But it was necessary.
So what's next? So what's next? Because was this a dream come true at this stage of your life? Or it sounds like this was birthed. And tell me about this book. How did it all happen?
Well, like I said, last year, so 2013,
okay,
well, 2014, mm-hmm, actually, you know, I was really reeling and rocking from some of the more national chaos. So Trayvon Martin,
yeah,
Mike Brown,
mm-hmm,
I was reeling from this. And I was asking God, like, how do I really love people who don't love us? you're asking me to do something very difficult here.
That's real.
You know, I'm like, they're out there killing us. Mm-hmm. They are dehumanizing us, targeting us. Yes. And yet you say for us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Well, Jesus, what if my neighbor don't love me? Mm-hmm. You know? And so I was really wrestling with this stuff. And so as I am, like I said, this book, it grew out of so much. Mm-hmm. It grew out of what was happening on the national headlines, what was happening me in my career in this new congregation, and then also on the personal front with my father. You know, it was just so much. And so it just came up as the love challenge. Mm-hmm. Now, moving from here, you know, we do have some book signings lined up.
Okay. I want to let people know how they can get a copy of this book and where you're going to be, because we're going to make sure that we share. And let me just do that right now.
Go ahead.
So if you want to get in touch with Pastor D, you can email him at dawrellrich@live.com. That's dawrellrich@live.com. But how can I get this book?
You can order it on Amazon. Okay. It's also available on our website, Darrell Rich, dawrellrich.com. The next event that we have upcoming is on July 12th. I'll be preaching at Mount Airy Baptist Church, for the youth conference. So that's going to be an awesome time. And over the summer, we have some book signings kind of scattered throughout the East Coast.
Okay.
And I'll be at the Harlem Book Fair.
Wonderful. I was going to ask if you're going to be there.
Okay. I'll be down there.
Okay. And we're Facebook buddies. So if he lets me know where he's going to be, I will let the listeners know where he's going to be, because this is an awesome young brother who has really touched a lot of lives here in Connecticut, particularly in Bridgeport. But because of the church that you're in, it's statewide.
Yes.
We know there's a lot of members throughout the state there. So thank you so much sharing the Love Challenge, a 21-day journey in love. If you need to go on this journey, well, you may not even know you need to go on this journey. You need to pick up this book and go on this journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Pastor D, for sharing with us, and looking forward to what's next in your life.
Yes.
Thanks
love
for
you
being
much.
Here.
Thank you.
Love you too. So we're going to head out right now, and make sure you keep on reading, okay? This is the WYBC Book Club with me, Veronica Douglas. See you next week.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.